You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
Well, good morning. Excuse me about that. I've been off with the flu this week. Joni's just caught it, so she's in bed. Please pray for me. Her. Wasn't it amazing hearing those prayers in different languages? And it's an amazing thing. I don't know if you've thought, God speaks in different languages. So when I pray to God, I hear him in Yorkshire. With a very thick West Yorkshire accent. It blows my mind. We have in our church 59 nations represented. Isn't that amazing? And so I have the privilege of reading out all 59 of these nations. So wait to the end to cheer, okay? Otherwise we'll be here for a very long time. Angola, Antigua and Barbuda, Australia, Bahrain, Botswana, Brazil, Canada, Cayman Islands, China, Democratic Republic of Congo, Ecuador, England, Estonia, Fiji, Finland, France, Germany, Ghana, Hong Kong, Hungary, India, Indonesia, Iran, Ireland, Israel, Jamaica, Kenya, Latvia, Malawi, Malaysia, Mauritius, Namibia, New Zealand, Nigeria, Northern Ireland, Philippines, Poland, Portugal, Romania, Rwanda, Samoa, Sao Tome and Principe, Scotland, Sierra Leone, Singapore, South Africa, South Korea, Sweden, Switzerland, Taiwan, Tanzania, Trinidad and Tobago, Tokelau, Ukraine, the USA, Wales, Zambia, Zimbabwe. And I'm actually going to add one more to make it a nice round 60, and that is Yorkshire. Yes. I'm going to read 14 of the most spectacular verses in the Bible from the book of Revelation, chapter 5. You'll recognize some of these words in one of the songs that we sang earlier. And it says this, "Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?' But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals.' Then I saw a lamb looking as if he had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. They sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth.' Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength, honor and glory and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. Friends, this place we read about in Revelation 5 is more real than the place we're in now. And the scriptures say very, very clearly that every tribe, every nation, every language, every people will be there. This is not some kind of faint hope or some wish. This is a firm promise. This is certainty. In terms of our future, we are moving towards this day, this real place. Here we see a picture of what the coming world will look like. And it's the most awe-inspiring of pictures and visions that Jesus gave John. This is the vision of the coming kingdom of God. And this vision of the kingdom is one that is multi-ethnic and one that is multi-racial. God's kingdom is one of unity and diversity, and it is multifaceted and multidimensional. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're saying, Lord, let this kingdom, let this future kingdom that looks like this, let it crash into our world right now, which is what makes church so beautiful. Did you not feel it or sense it, even as we listen to those prayers, as we worship together from all the different backgrounds that we come from? It is just a foretaste of the coming kingdom. Well, if you thought that was good, imagine what it's going to be like. We just get a snippet, a taste of what is to come. And this kingdom crashing into our world, crashing into our community, crashing into our world, it's what is happening before our eyes. And it is a display window, a shot window of what the coming kingdom looks like. And in God's kingdom, in God's economy, it is a church where Jesus Christ, he sits, the head of the church, and he, Jesus, is the desire of all the nations, which is why we have the privilege of going to these nations. And people are already desiring him all across the globe. His offspring is the nations, and the nations desire him. The kingdom, this kingdom, it is broken into our world 2,000 years ago through the finished work of Christ, where his death triumphed. And it brings reconciliation vertically. It restores our relationship between us and God, but also the cross sits horizontally and restores the relationship between us. Our world right now is currently marked by so much hostility, polarization, so much war and division and prejudice, contempt. And Jesus, this is the glory of Christ and the message of the gospel and the beauty of the church, that Jesus himself tore down the dividing walls and creates this new radical community founded on unity and grace and love. This is the church, and Jesus now rules over this international community in which sex and rank and nation and race are no barriers to fellowship, which is why Paul says so confidently to the early church communities in Galatia, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. This is the unfolding story of God and the gospel and the kingdom of God. And this good news of Jesus is so pervasive, it's so powerful, it's so potent that it breaks down every single dividing wall and barrier and sense of uniformity. And this I believe, church, is what makes our faith so stunning, so powerful, so glorious. God is weaving together his grand, big kingdom story, drawing on such a variety of different people from different backgrounds. Now, I personally love this because, for those of you who don't know, I'm from a small town called Pontefract in West Yorkshire, home of Haribo. I'm a very proud Yorkshireman. If we were all doing some kind of bring and share food today, I would be bringing Yorkshire pudding. You know, I was brought up, you can have Yorkshire pudding for a starter, main and dessert. Anybody had that? Okay. But I was very nearly born in a place called Papua New Guinea. And this is where my family became Christians. And before that, my parents had met in Zambia. My sisters were born in Zambia. And so very early on in kind of the formational days of me following Jesus, I realized that the Christian faith, the church, is extremely wide and diverse and different and unique. In fact, it's really what makes the church so beautiful. And to have 59 nations represented in our church in Hull is something that if you listen to some of Jody and I's private chats and our most earnest prayers, we longed for a church like this. And so just to be sat here at the front and to experience this, it's like, wow, it's like a pinch me moment. This is what we dreamt about. And we believe this is only the beginning. Because racially diverse churches look like heaven. This is what the church is supposed to look like. The church today is called to be a pointer to the coming kingdom. We're to welcome the people of the community. We're to welcome this kingdom amongst us, which looks nothing like us. There is beauty in that diversity. And so when people step into a local church, they ought to experience something of that world to come, which is why we pray for the sick, because in heaven, people exist in perfect health, which is why we pray, Lord, let your kingdom come. It's why we pray for grieving families. We pray for the restoration of marriages. It's why we feed the hungry. It's because all these things are pointers to the coming kingdom. And the book of Revelation tells us that when the kingdom comes in all its fullness, it's not going to look like an all-white church or an all-black church. The coming kingdom is going to be thoroughly multi-ethnic, multilingual, and multicultural. So the question for us as I close is if Revelation 5 is our future, and the kingdom of God is expanding in this way, every tribe, every tongue, every nation, how much do we get to participate in our own lives in bringing this about? That's really for us to consider in the life of this church, but also in the life of us as individuals. When you're in a room like this, it's so exciting. It's so much fun. And then tomorrow morning happens and you open up that bad email or you get that bad phone call or you realize there's so much to do. The laundry is piling up and there's dishes in the sink and you've got that doctor's appointment and you remember it's somebody's birthday that you've forgotten. And it's amazing how quickly all of this just quickly goes away. Just with the monotony of life. But the reality is that for some of us in this room, the Lord, whether it be today, whether it will be in the coming weeks or the coming months, I really believe there are some people in this room that this is going to happen to, where the Lord will put a hook in you that you will not be able to get out of you, and some of you will be called to the nations. Some of you will be called to ministry in some way that you will not be able to say no to it. And for me, this happened over many, many years, but a real defining moment for me in terms of my call to ministry actually happened when I was in Australia. And the reality is, when the call of God gets a grip of your life, it's like it's you're undone. And there's no going back. And there's no looking to the left or to the right. It's kind of like, I'm in this. I know what I'm made for. I know what God has made me to do. And the only place of being fulfilled and satisfied is in the bullseye of God's will. And you've tried different things, and you've tasted of different things, and none of it satisfies. And so it's an awesome day when you meet Jesus. It's the best day of your life. But then the next best thing is to know the reason why you're born. And that is the call of God upon your life. And I don't know how your theology works, but time and time again, in church life, in our services, maybe you go to a conference. Many of you are at Cause to Live For last weekend, our national conference for 18 to 30s. But what happens is that God takes a whole room of people and gathers a whole room of people in their hundreds and thousands, and yet in one moment, it'll just be about one person. One person who responds and comes to the front, and they're on their knees and they're weeping and they're sobbing and they can't stop. And it's like, it's their turn this week. And the person who's praying for them, it'll probably be their turn maybe in a few months' time or in a few years' time. But they just get undone and they just get called into a life of surrender and saying, Lord, I give up. That's what it means to be a Christian. You just give up. You stop striving. Stop trying. And you just yield to the sovereignty of Jesus Christ in your life. You give him the keys to the car of your life and you say, Lord, I've tried driving this and it's not working. I'm just going to let you drive the car of my life. That's what it means. And actually, that deep sense of tears is actually one of just surrender. I can't go on, Lord. And some of you, I know, are going to be called into ministry. Some of you are going to call to the nations. And we want to wholeheartedly support you in that. I want to welcome the band up. We're going to have another time of worship. But calling starts when we see God in such a way like we read in Revelation 5. It's like you see God for who he is, and then God sees you. And it's this moment. And so how do we work out this vision, this coming kingdom in our lives? Every tribe, every nation, every tongue. It's the extension of the kingdom through the gospel. It's the resurrected Christ giving his followers, you and I, the Great Commission, go into all the nations. And you know what, guys? That will probably start with our next door neighbor. Go into all the nations, teaching, discipling, baptizing people. That's what we're doing next week, baptizing people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is our life's work. And the great composer, Handel, composed Messiah. Messiah is beautiful, beautiful piece, collection of music. This Christmas time, this will be sung throughout all the country and different churches. Handel's Messiah, and we're going to be singing in this next set a part of one of those songs, and it says this: he shall reign forever and ever and ever. And when he composed it, it was without getting much sleep or even eating much food. And when his assistants brought him his meals, they were often left uneaten. And the people around him would often find him in tears as he composed this. He was in so much debt, he was going to be placed in prison. And this turned things around. And when he completed, he reportedly told someone, I did see all heaven before me. And the great God himself seated on his throne with his company of angels. And like Isaiah did in Isaiah 6, like this picture in Revelation, when we see God and every tribe and every nation, every tongue, multitude after multitude, you cannot see the crowds singing, he shall reign forever and ever and ever. And the moment we partake of this great kingdom story is when we say, Lord, it's not about my life reigning forever and ever and ever. It's not about my story and my wants and my will reigning forever and ever. But Lord, it is about your glory, your name, your fame reigning forever and ever. And my life is just to sit under that, to serve that great commission and that great mission and that great story of the kingdom.
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.